Hello, Phil.
Yeah, hi. Just give me a second. I'm just going to put my headset on.
All right, no problem.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
That's loud and clear. Thank you. You're right on time. I appreciate it.
No problem. I'm trying to be professional here, you know? My name's Andy Thunders, and I write for Uncivil Revolt webzine. And I just want to say it's a huge honor for me to be able to interview you, because I've been a fan of yours since I was a kid.
How old are you now?
I'm 27.
Okay, fair enough. That's fantastic.
Yeah. I grew up with your old school stuff, and Tales from the Strip also holds a special place for me at the time it was released, too.
How old were you when that came out?
I was in middle school, so probably about 14, 15.
See, I've been doing these interviews, and you know, like, people have asking, you know, what do you think about Gene Simmons' Rock is Dead? And I'm like, no, it is not dead. It is far from dead. And people like you and bands like Greta Van Fleet are inspirational to me. You know, I'm so happy to hear that. That's really good. Well, good. And beyond just being a fan, you're actually going out of your way to immerse yourself in this business. So I appreciate that. Appreciate your support.
Oh, it's an absolute honor. I mean, I promote good music, you know. I don't try to bullshit around. You just have to dig a little deeper, it seems, these days, but...
Yeah. Now, you've heard the album. They sent you a CD.
Yeah. It's a fantastic. It's definitely a bit more angsty than The Missing Piece, but in a good way. And I like that it's not very extremely polished. It's actually a really raw record. And
that's perceptive, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm quite very jealous of your voice even to this day.
big difference between the two records, and you pointed it out immediately. The Missing Piece is an epic, lush, sonic album. There's strings on it, there's embellishments, it's like so much fluff. It's fluffy, you know, that's not a good word, but...
Yeah, because it's not quite soft. You guys aren't Poison, you know what I mean?
it's symphonic.
Yeah.
Whereas the Devil You Know is completely stripped down and raw.
It's almost got like a punky angst to it in a way.
It's almost, you know, you can say punk feel as long as you don't say it's a punk record.
No, it's just got an element of it in the sonics.
Yeah, well, that's because, you know, it was written all at the same time. We wrote it together on the road while we were promoting The Missing Piece. And we knew that it wasn't going to be anything like The Missing Piece. We knew that we weren't going to have strings or anything. It wasn't going to be anything like that. But you know, we were just feeling so good about the response we were getting from The Missing Piece that it was, you know, it was really inspiring. And Tracy, he's a workaholic. You know, he'll sit on the bus playing his guitar, sketching songs all day. You know, into his garage band on a phone or a tablet or something.
Yeah.
So it didn't take long before we started to see an album start take shape. I remember we were in Australia. We had a day off. I went to an animal sanctuary to look at koala bears. And when I came back, Johnny and Tracy had written Rage. It was, you know, written on days off in hotels or, you know, like waiting to go on stage or, you know, a real, you know, if you want to catch a vibe of, you know, like a, a real working band in progress, and not a band sitting down, okay, we're going to go in the studio, what kind of album are we going to make? We never like that. It's spontaneous.
Yeah, as it should be.
Yeah. And sincere.
Exactly. Without sincerity, it's just empty.
Yeah.
So, how does it feel after all this time, throughout all the years, to be back with Tracy? I mean, I know there's another lineup, and that's caused controversy, but...
There is another lineup. You have to do a show before you can be considered a lineup. There's talk of a possibility of one show, maybe.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know, it makes for a juicy tidbit in an interview. But my response, no, it's, you know, if he does one show, if he plays one chord, then I'll accept. There might be some rivalry, but it's non-existent.
Yeah. I mean, you and Tracy have always had a chemistry that's worked together.
Yeah.
You know, a special chemistry.
We had a long time apart. We had a long estrangement, and at times I doubted I'd ever even see him, let alone collaborate. But, you know, when we did get together and we did play, it was immediate. The chemistry became, it was aware for both of us. Like a spark, you know. And after that, he's like, well, I've got some great new ideas. I'm working on an album. You'd be interested in doing a couple of songs with me. And it was a natural progression.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once I heard his ideas, I was like, wow, this is great. Can we do an album?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, as a matter of fact, I've got one ready to go. And we did. And I know that me and Tracy needed some time apart. Sometimes, you know, like partners that are in a crucible, you got to get away from each other.
Yeah. I mean, and that tends to happen. I mean, it happened to the Beatles.
Maybe a bit too much, but, you know, we were back and we made up for lost time. Definitely made up for lost time.
I'd say.
And you know, I feel we did our fans a disservice by not trying sooner, I think. You know, it's just like, but now we see, you know, how much pleasure people get from seeing us. I wish we'd done it earlier. A little bit, anyway.
I mean, I didn't even realize when The Missing Piece came out until after it already came out. And I was like, damn, I really wish I could have been involved in that. So when I heard that The Devil You Know was coming out, I immediately had to get involved, you know.
Well, and yes, that's great. I appreciate that. And whatever it takes, you know, it'd be so easy for us just to get back together and go on the nostalgia circuit. And we'd do good. We'd make a great living.
Yeah.
That's not what we signed up for.
Yeah, you're still making really legitimate good music, so it's not like you're riding on the coattails of stuff you did 20 years ago. You know what I mean?
What I call last century's music.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to do that. I really don't. You know, we have to do it because, you know, it's just, you know, if we can't do an LA Guns show and not play Electric Gypsy or Never Enough.
Well, of course not. I mean, Electric Gypsy, that's part of my upbringing right there, just that song alone.
But it wouldn't kill me if we didn't do those songs for a year and we just concentrated on these last two records and stuff that we wanted to do.
Well, there's enough material for that to happen.
Well, you know, what our solution is we do two nights consecutive in a venue. That's what we've told our agent, to get us as many weekend residencies as they can, so that we can do a classic night and then a deeper cut night the following. We've done it, and it works really, really well. And ironically, the second night is usually even more crowded than the first. So that's encouraging.
Well, that says something too, because I mean, your hits are amazing, but it's the deep cuts that really affected me.
Yeah,
like,
people like that, and we like it too. And you know, we do take a lot of risks. It makes it difficult for us to do festivals and you know, like day events, you know, where we only get like 30 or 40 minutes set.
Yeah.
That's no good to us. We can't do anything with that, you know. It's just not worth it. We get paid, and yeah, that's great, but you know, it seems like a big prestigious event, but it really isn't. You know, they pay the same as a regular club. And we just don't want to deal with all the bullshit of bands going on before and after and figuring out what songs and if we can maybe do one new one. We stepped away from that. And, you know, we get a little bit of flack, you know. We got a little, it's a little resentment because we don't want to do the same sort of hair circuit stuff.
Well, I get where you're coming from, because, I mean, you're not in it for the money or the, you know, whatever might be at those festivals. You're looking to play what you want to play, at least. And that's more important than, you know, making a few extra bucks and getting a pat on the back, you know?
Right. Well, you know, the thing is, it's not even that extra bucks. It's exactly, we make the same money doing our own show. In a club anyway, so
there's no real draw to want to do a festival then, anyway.
No, I don't want to do festivals. You know, I don't like it. You know, and people think that we're stuck up, and you know, we got a bad attitude. Well, so be it.
Some people just don't like it when you take a step for yourself. Sometimes.
Oh, you tell me, it's so true. I mean, we'll play the festivals if we can headline.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, you know, seriously, straight face, I'm not joking, you know, it's like, we will, and we have, and we're a great headline band, just, you know, we just got to give us a bit more than 45 minutes.
Yeah, fair enough. I completely understand that.
Mm-hmm.
How does it differ in the music business today from when you first started?
You know, when I first started, everybody was in a band. You know, I was a teenager in the 70s.
Yeah.
And,
that's when you started Girl with Phil Collin, right?
Yeah, you know, at the end of the 70s, we had Girl right up by 1980. It was amazing. It was an amazing time because music was God.
Yeah,
you know?
It really was back then.
Everybody played an instrument, everybody was in a band or knew somebody that was in a band, and it was a great community.
Were you part of the glam scene or the new album scene? Like, where were you guys falling under then?
Well, you know, we fancied ourselves as a glam band, and they dropped us right in that new wave of British heavy metal, which we didn't want, and neither did they. So it was really difficult, it's really awkward. When we do shows, and then we'd be pitched to these rivet heads, we call them.
I can't imagine you guys playing a bill with like Angel Lynch or Saxon.
Yeah, I know, crazy, huh?
I'd see you more with like Rocky Shades Wrathchild and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, and it was difficult for us. It was a difficult time because. Those guys hated us. They hated us, you know, with our makeup and girl clothes, and it was just like
they just didn't get where you were coming from.
No, but you know, I figured if I could survive that, I can survive anything.
Fair enough. So, what was it like when you first joined LA Guns? What year was that?
That would have been about 1987, 88, it was like heaven on earth. You know, I don't know if you've seen the trailer for the Motley Crue movie, The Dirt.
Yeah, it looks a little tiny bit cringy to me, but I'll give it a shot. But I don't expect it to top the book by any means.
Right. Well, you know, I don't know, you know, what the movie's like but that's what it looked like. That's exactly, they got the look down. I mean, whoever was in charge of that department, that's what the clubs looked like, that's what the girls, that's what everybody looked like. They're spot on accurate. So it was amazing. And to be, you know, to come in to the scene and be given such a coveted position in a very well known, well respected local band.
Yeah.
That were just on the brink of getting a record deal, but were having trouble with needed a new singer. And everybody knew the history and what was going on with the band when I joined, and everyone was encouraging and they wanted me to do it, and it worked out great. It worked out, obviously worked out fantastic for me and for the band. But I didn't sort of like leave London and arrive in Beverly Hills and live in a mansion, you know.
Oh yeah,
living in motels and like one sharing, you know, an apartment with the guys. And
the thing people forget is it was a very hand to mouth kind of existence in that scene back then.
But you know, there was such a great scene. Oh my God, there was a party every night.
I'm sure. I've seen Decline of Western Civilization and a lot of documentaries on the fact, just trying to get into the mind of the scene from different angles, and
that's it, that's right, she nailed it. Actually, that movie was just a tiny bit before I arrived. That would have been around 85, I think.
85, 86.
And it was just like a year or two before I arrived. Amazing, fantastic. She caught a slice of life, real piece of history.
It's amazing because it does seem almost like a simpler time, and for all that it's put down, you know. For all that it's put down for, it doesn't seem like anybody was unwilling to do anything that they did.
Right. You're right. You know, you're right. You nailed it. It was a simpler time. You know, there was no internet. There was no gossip boards. You know, if you did something, it would take weeks, you know, for it to leak out. It's like you do something now, it's leaked before you get home.
Yeah, like I could even remember before, like, being 27, when I was growing up and buying your CDs for the first time and shit, we didn't have the downloadable shit like we do now. So even then, I was appreciating the whole album, the artwork, like the real essence of it being a real, almost sacred element, you know?
Of course.
And
it should be ritualistic, you know? It should be, you know, you should be immersed in it. It's more than just a song. You know, it's a band. It's a living entity. It's
art in a reflection of the world where it's at the time.
It's all immerse yourself in it. You know, it's all connected. You know, album, The Missing Piece, is connected to The Devil You Know, and the songs are connected. You know, it's interesting. It's not just one dimension. And it's good.
You guys have never been one-dimensional anyway.
No. We're big fans of LPs, vinyl, and I'm delighted that we are releasing it on vinyl. I don't know how many copies they're going to make, but...
My bank account won't like me, but I'll like that album.
Yeah. And it's great, you know, putting on a record... And then looking at the artwork and just immersing yourself in it instead of it just being some music playing in the background.
Yeah, like, and when people say things like, oh, well, you know, they should get a real job, I'm like, well, imagine the world if no art existed in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, well, you know, it is a job, and it's a thankless job, making... recording music. We're not going to make any money doing that. We know that.
I wish it weren't so.
I'm
one of the few that will still buy an album because I know that bands make the most money off a vinyl release, actually.
Yeah, that's right. You know, most of our money, the majority we make is from live shows and meet and greets. And, but, you know, we still make music because it's in our DNA to make music. And we have a label that finances us. We're not begging our fans to give us money to record.
Yeah.
It's all legit. And you know, at the end of the day, it's a lot of fun. As far as jobs go, they're a lot worse.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I wouldn't knock it.
Not knocking it. It's, you know, but don't think for a second that it's a breeze, you know.
Oh, no.
It's not. It's really hard work. But, it's a challenge. I like challenge, you know, so, I'm happy right now. You know, it's good when it's great when you're happy and then you're enjoying it, but to be in a band on the road when you're over it, when you don't want to be there, that's hell on earth. But,
yeah, I mean, if something needs to change, then something needs to change for the sake of everything.
It's been a great ride for me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're, in my opinion, one of the best singers, like, in that era of groups. Like, your approach is unique, your lyrics are unique, and your presence has almost like a... There's a certain spiritual draw to it. It's not just, you know, you're not up there just humping a giant microphone, you know?
No, it's very cathartic for me. It's like meditating, you know. I get so much from it.
Yeah.
There's no high like it, you know. I've come off stage and smoked the strongest pot known to man. and it was like, that's okay. Nothing compares to that.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is, it's the adrenaline, it's just the reaction, the eye contact. It's a profound communion. That's the word I was looking for. I describe a concert as being a profound communion.
That's definitely the feel that I've always gotten from your, even just your vocal performances. I read somewhere that you were a psychic reader on the telephone for a few years in between.
No,
bands.
I did it for one night. I did it. It was awful. I would say more of a dare, a bet, really. I don't know. Alex Kane, the guitar player, he's playing in the Enough's Enough now. He was in a band called LSD, Life, Sex, and Death. And he's a great guy. He's a big player on the Hollywood scene, on the rock scene.
Gotcha.
Anyway, you know, after the bubble burst in the early 90s, you know, things got a bit tight and you know, we were looking for ways to make money. And I ran into Alex and he mentioned that he was doing it and did I want to make some real easy money. And like a fool, I agreed. And I did it, and I said, but, you know, I don't know anything about astrology. He goes, neither do I. Don't worry about it. Keep him on the phone. And you know, I'd be like, oh, so Gemini, Asparagus Rising, and they're like, what? it was just a laugh. And, you know, I did it for a night or two, and I couldn't take it seriously. You know, the people that called were so stupid, so gullible. I could have said anything, and they just wanted to talk to someone. And I'm earning like $4 an hour, and they're spending $40 an hour talking to me. And it was just like, this is all wrong.
Yeah, something's not evened out there.
Yeah. So I didn't do it for very long. But it was a you know, I'm not ashamed, you know. know, it was. I've done some weird jobs. I've done some funny jobs, and I'm not ashamed of it.
Haven't we all at least one time in our life?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
I just thought that was interesting, and I had to bring that up to get the whole scoop on that.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, obviously, it's not something I take seriously, but it was a... I should have known better.
It was an experience, to say the least,
yeah.
I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how much time we have here yet.
What time is it now?
It's 5:55 my time. I'm in New York.
Oh yeah, I've got one in 5 minutes, so we better wrap it up.
All right. Well, I guess in closing, I'd like to ask just one simple question. What do you love about music?
You know, I love music, and what I love most about it is the fact that it's been my salvation. Personally, it's something that I had no training in. I have no musical background. It's just something I loved so much from a very early age that I was just drawn to it, and I knew, in spite of all the highs and lows, that it would be the right environment for me to be in, and it has been good. It's great for me now, I'm so glad I did it. You know, it's just like I didn't give up my daydream. You know, I stuck with it.
Yeah.
And it paid off. So it's everything. It's my life, and you know, I'd probably be in jail or dead or, you know, in the army or something. You know, I would have. No, it was right. It was a great thing for me.
That's amazing. Do you have to be inspired to write a song, or does it just kind of flow from an idea?
I get inspired by Tracy's aggressive pieces of music that he sends me.
Yeah.
Very inspired by that. It, you know, just brings out the energy. He does that. You know, he's just a wicked guitar player. Paganini, you know, it's like he's
one of the underrated greats, in my opinion.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he's kind of overlooked. God, he definitely affected my style and my taste in music and everything else. So
I played guitar in lineups before, you know. Just
yeah, Tales from the Script was you on rhythm, right?
I wouldn't even put a guitar on next to Tracy. I wouldn't have the guts.
Yeah, I can imagine. Hard to keep up.
No way. Okay, bud, listen, I'm going to wrap it up now. Good talking to you. Appreciate the support. Come and say hi, all right?
All right. Take it easy, man. It was an honor.
Bye, buddy. Bye.
See ya.